The message this morning comes from Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And this is what it says. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to him, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Now, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, because it has something to say about this. Hebrews 11, 4 says, By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. This is the word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands and abides forever. May He bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. The book of Hebrews was written originally to a congregation of Jews in the first century who had professed faith in Christ and begun to follow Him. But it seems that at least some in the congregation were considering turning away from Christ and going back to the old religion of the priesthood and the temple worship. So the author of Hebrews expounds a message of the preeminence of Jesus Christ using the Old Testament to support his claims and warns this congregation not to turn away from faith in Jesus Christ. At the end of chapter 10, he says, Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and he will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Chapter 11 begins like this. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Having admonished this congregation and us as well to live by faith, to persevere in faith, the author of Hebrews then begins to explain what faith is and how it operates. He gives a description of faith in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3. And then he piles on example after example of Old Testament saints who lived by faith in order to help us to understand what faith is and encourage us to live by faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, "My righteous one shall live by faith," which is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, which is also quoted in Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. God says, "My righteous one shall live by faith." And then faith is described like this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is some kind of an apparatus or capacity that God has equipped human beings with that can envision things not seen and be convinced that those things are true. And by the way, even scientists and university professors live by faith because there are things that cannot be proved in a laboratory or a test tube. An illustration of this is the creation of the universe. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. We have to understand the creation of the universe by faith because we were not there to see it, and nobody was there to see it. And it can't be proved in a laboratory. This thing called faith that resides in the human personality by God's design is the instrument by which men receive commendation from God. Faith is the means by which we receive God's approval. And God's approval is what we want. So this chapter gives us many examples to help us understand God's approval. The first example He gives us is Abel. Now the historical record of Abel is in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, which we have already read as the scripture text for this morning. And then Hebrews 11:4 is a passage that gives New Testament commentary on that passage from Genesis. Hebrews 11:4 says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Hebrews 11:4 is commenting on Genesis chapter 4, and it emphasizes the role of faith in the story of Cain and Abel. Right here at the beginning of human history, after the fall of man, we learn that the just shall live by faith. So what is the role of faith in approaching God? First of all, man comes to God by faith. We read in Genesis 4 and here in Hebrews 11 that Cain and Abel both brought a sacrifice. And this tells us several things. Number one, it tells us that there was a prescribed place where God was to be worshipped. They had to bring that sacrifice to a place somewhere. In Genesis 4:3, Cain brought. And in Genesis 4:4, Abel brought. And it says in verse 3, to the Lord, indicating that the Lord had designated somewhere a place where you could bring something. There had to be somewhere, some place where they brought these sacrifices. It's very possible that the place was at the east of Eden. And perhaps there was an altar there. There's at least a good indication that there was already a place to make an offering, or an altar was already in that place. And it's very likely that at the place where God had placed that angel at the east of the garden with the flaming sword to keep them from coming back in, that that was the established point of contact with God. In verse 24 of Genesis chapter 3, God drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden the cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. And so, perhaps at that point, at that place, there was an altar. So there was a place where God was to be worshipped. Second thing we notice, there was a time for worship. Genesis 4 verse 3 says, and in the process of time it came to pass. Now, this is making assumptions based upon the text. But apparently there was a certain prescribed time for sacrifice. Maybe God had established something like the Day of Atonement, or a Day of Atonement, a special day designated for making a sacrifice of atonement. I think that's also indicated by virtue of the fact that they both came at the same time. They seemingly both had information regarding this sacrifice and the place and the time to make it. So they came at the same time to the same place with their sacrifices. Thirdly, I think there was a prescribed way to worship. Not only a place and a time, but a way. God could be approached only by sacrifice. The children of Adam and Eve had been instructed, we assume, that there was a place, that there was a time, and that there was a way to approach God by sacrifice. Now, Cain and Abel wouldn't have known anything at all about doing this if God hadn't told them, right? Because the concept of sacrifice appears here for the first time, the very first time. And so they must have had some information from God about time, place, and how to do it. It's not explicitly stated in Genesis anywhere, but it is presupposed by the very nature of the situation. They came to a place ready to make a sacrifice. They came together at the same time to the same place. And they came with differing offerings. But God only accepted one of them, which indicates God had already established a pattern for them. In Hebrews 11:4, as we read earlier, we learned that it was by faith that Abel offered a sacrifice. Now, where does faith come from? Well, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing. You cannot put your faith in what you do not know. Therefore, to assume that Abel offered a sacrifice by faith is also to assume that he heard from God what God wanted, and he believed God, and he obeyed God. If faith comes by hearing, Abel's faith must have come by information from God, by divine revelation. Therefore, he must have known what God expected. He had heard that God required a sacrifice. He believed, and he evidenced his faith by doing what God said to do. Cain also brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. But for Cain and his offering, God had no regard. There's nothing wrong with farmers. Farmers are wonderful people. There's not really anything wrong with offering God all kinds of fruits and vegetables and grain. That's great. In Leviticus, there was a time prescribed to bring the first fruits of the land, but that was a different kind of offering. Atonement for sin demanded a blood sacrifice. So Abel brought a lamb, and Cain brought vegetables. And Abel's sacrifice was acceptable to God because it was offered by faith, and Cain's was not acceptable to God because it was not offered in faith. Point number one is that man comes to God by faith. Point number two is faith that is approved by God is faith that is obedient to the Word of God. When Abel did what God said, he revealed his faith and he acknowledged his sinfulness. Cain, by not offering the right kind of sacrifice, revealed his lack of faith and didn't acknowledge his sin. And so it says, by faith he brought a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was better because it was a blood sacrifice, and God had prescribed this. No question about it in my mind. Otherwise, he would have had no idea what he was doing. And if this is true, it says Abel offered a better sacrifice, and God responded by making him righteous. Now, if Abel just did that by accident, then what right did he have to be righteous? If it was only an accident that he brought, well, he thought, well, all right, I'm a sheep keeper, so I'll bring a sheep. And Cain thought, well, I'm a vegetable farmer, so I'll bring vegetables. If it was a pure accident, then on what arbitrary basis would God say, Abel, you're righteous, Cain, you're not? That would be like saying, I like sheep, and I can't stand vegetables. But you see, whenever Abel was accepted, that means that somewhere along the line he heard what God said and he obeyed it. How did Abel know that he should bring an animal? I think that he knew because God told him. I have already alluded to the fact that in the New Testament we read, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it's evident that if Abel knew that he was to bring the sacrifice of the lamb, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, Abel had been instructed. And we assume also that Cain had been instructed as well. The two had been instructed in the proper way to approach God. Not only that, but they were given an illustration. When God had slain an animal to clothe Adam and Eve with skins, as we saw in Genesis chapter 3, they also had the illustration from the Lord Himself. And I think that it is reasonable to assume that Adam and Eve taught Cain and Abel the proper way to approach God through substitutionary blood atonement. That lesson was given by God Himself in the Garden of Eden as He clothed Adam and Eve with cloaks of skin. And Adam and Eve knew the kind of offering that they should bring, and Cain and Abel knew the kind of offering that they should bring. So the rejection of Cain's offering, if that is true, becomes understandable now. Cain evidently came in self-righteousness. Otherwise, there's no premise for the acceptance of Abel's sacrifice and the rejection of Cain's. God accepts only faith. Faith comes from the Word of God. Abel believed God and he approached God saying by his sacrifice, God, this is what you said you wanted, and you said if I brought it, you'd forgive my sin. I brought it. I believe you, God. I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge the prescribed remedy. Here I am with my blood sacrifice. Cain had the same information as Abel. Brought what he wanted to do anyway. He did his own thing. He tried to come to God on his own terms. Cain didn't believe God. Thought he could approach God by his own works. And you know what? Cain stands as the first one to do what so many people try to do today, and that is to try to come to God on their own terms. That is false religion. Coming to God by another way other than that which God has prescribed. Abel is an example of justification by faith. And Cain is an example of not being justified by works. Abel is an example of approaching God on God's terms, and Cain is an example of ignoring God's word and approaching God on his own terms. Thirdly, God is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of repentance. Genesis 4:4-7 says, "The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you.'" The King James Version says its desire is to have you, but you must rule over it. Notice that even after Cain's unapproved sacrifice, the Lord in His patience and mercy comes to Cain, offering him the opportunity to repent. God appeals to Cain and God warns Cain, "Why are you angry?" The Lord comes to Cain saying, the Lord in humility comes to plead with Cain, who's angry because he thinks the Lord has been unjust with him. And the Lord pleads with him. He appeals to reason. The Lord is genuinely concerned about Cain. Cain's face has given him away. His countenance has fallen. You can see the anger and the resentment in his face. And the Lord says to Cain that if he will do well, that is, if he will repent, he will find acceptance. But he warns Cain that if sin masters him, disaster will be the result. If sin is not dealt with, it grows and escalates and entraps and ultimately destroys. That is what it did to Cain. And the final point is this. Punishment is in store for the one who refuses to come to God by faith on his terms. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. What did he say to him? He said, "Let's meet out in the field somewhere." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother and Abel killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Then the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. Then Cain went away from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Here is the portrait of an unrepentant, hardened sinner. Sin has mastered Cain, and the divine sentence comes. The unrepentant, hardened sinner is sentenced to an aimless life of frustration and wandering meaninglessness under the judgment of God. And if it ends like that, then there is more punishment in eternity, separated from the presence of the Lord God forever. But it does not have to end that way. The righteousness of the God of God is the possession of those who come to Him by the sacrifice in faith. The sacrifice has been made by Jesus Christ. The only way in which we can find acceptance with God is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And it is available to all who want it. Let's pray.